the speed with which everybody's working in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of whether it's, you know, whether it's on your own working from home, whether it's working in the satellite office with one or two people. Mm-hmm. But even to more foundational matters, like, you know, having a sales conversation, mm-hmm. having a large internal meeting. You know, back in the day, and obviously back in the day was February 2020 and earlier, we would all jump in a car and go and do lots of meetings. But actually, you know, we've had this new normal forced upon us, and people are embracing some form of technology to change the way in which they're working. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys feel the same about me as me, but I think, you know, we've addressed that remote working from a meeting perspective. Mm-hmm. And we've basically grabbed on something that we've seen is familiar, and I think Zoom is a really good example of that.
Yeah,
I think that's really key. You know, organizations have sort of made the decision to go one way or the other, and have sort of, as you say, well, latched on to something like Zoom and gone, that's great, that gets us over this hurdle, this bump that facilitates my meetings, my chat. What we're now sort of seeing is companies going, well, that's great, now what do I do next? Where do I go from here? What does that look like? What if I'd want to take this to the next level, what does that look like, and how do I do it? And you mentioned a really important thing there, you know, Will and Gareth, yourself as well. It's the strategy of the organization and also the pace at which they change. You know, this has been forced upon many businesses now quite quickly. And I think as well, a lot of organizations are going, I need to catch breath, but at the same time, they're going, well, the pace has been good, so try and keep up momentum where possible. I think what Microsoft have done really well is, you know, in terms of Teams, and when you start to use it and embrace it, is starting to really empower employees, but start to bring all those other aspects. You know, they've very much got the sort of Teams, the chat, the collaboration aspect pretty much nailed. And yeah, what they're now doing is going, right, look, you've got your meetings, your calling, that sort of stuff. Now you've got to get under the real nitty gritty bits of what's going to make your organization much more effective and start to really process well, which is that collaboration aspect. So what do we do next? You know, where's your files, your folders, and where's your business applications? Where's that sitting?
Yeah.
You know, where's and bringing data? It all together.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Data's key. You know, where does it go?
And it's the speed of all of that. So if you think about, you know, somebody who, as Will said, you have meetings. Like if we have two meetings a day, that's us out of the office under normal working conditions.
Yeah.
You could easily have two meetings a day now and get on with other things in between or after. Mm-hmm. So the speed of transition and the speed of collaboration using these tools, be it Teams, be it Zoom, be it whatever, people start looking around the business at the speed of their other applications, the speed of their other processes, and start to question just how manual or how laborious or how many bodies it takes to run through those processes. So yeah, I think the speed of adoption, because everyone's been forced to do something, has been healthy. Mm-hmm. It worries me slightly that to embrace the next step, to take back some of that control, we lose that speed and we lose that enthusiasm, because there is a nervousness about things moving too fast. But I think the speed's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just doing it in the right way with the right people and the right partners. And if people start looking away from the face-to-face or the meeting space that they're in at the minute and around their other applications, because I'm sure it has frustrated the life out of people having to work from home, and all of a sudden this process in the office that you had to walk from point A to point B to point C with a piece of paper is no longer viable for an organization.
And you know, it's kind of interesting, because, you know, we're on this call, we're all used to dealing with, let's say, IT buying decisions. It's what we do, right? One of the things that we've seen, particularly when it comes to, you know, the COVID challenge, which we're all experiencing, is there's no time to prevaricate. So we've seen speed of decisions accelerating.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that is really, really fascinating, if we're talking about something like Teams, for example, is you look at the investments that that Microsoft are putting into that platform, mm-hmm. and the growth of that platform. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I look at Teams and you know, I'm going to steal another really good phrase here. You know, if I look at Teams, it's very quickly becomes, if deployed right, mm-hmm. It very quickly becomes the operating system of the business.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we haven't got that, you know, that face-to-face contact that we're kind of genetically predisposed to, you know, embrace and be collaborative within the same sort of space. But Teams does seem to be, you know, not only plugging the gap, but actually enhancing collaboration, even if you're sat on the same workspace, in it within the same workspace, as your colleagues. And that's the key thing when it comes to, you know, you may have embraced remote working, you may have embraced, you know, video conferencing on a one-to-one basis or a one-to-many basis, but that's, you're scratching the surface there. You're scratching the surface of what true collaboration looks like. Yeah. You know, like you said, Gemma, it's a case of not just sharing files, but it's a case of sharing information, a case of sharing data, and creating that single cockpit view of either your operational part of the business, but also the whole of your business.
Yeah, and I think that's key. You know, we've always said, you know, Gareth and I would speak very sort of highly of how much you have to consider the data at the center of your organization and the tools that facilitate that. So you say, well, Teams is starting to scratch that surface. And now we're really, you know, working with organizations to start to think about the what next? How do I scratch further? What sits underneath that? Gareth, I mean, what's your view on a company coming to us or working, you know, we're working with a business that has scratched that surface? Where do they go next? When, you know, what's the sort of next step in that journey for them?
The big thing for me is an organization has to understand where the gaps are. You have to understand, is it a data gap? Is it a process gap? Is it a people gap? And they need to have that firmly in their mindset when they engage with somebody's going to help them with their digital transformation journey. I understand, though, that's a very, very difficult thing to do, because we said at the start, how do you visualize something when you don't know what the journey looks like?
Yeah.
So the big thing I would say for anyone is, don't feel that you have to look into your next steps as part of a sales process. That's something you're going to buy at the end of it. It's all about education. It's all about understanding where your gaps are. And you'll not understand where they are until you understand where the technology is. So we've talked a lot here about Teams and that Microsoft stack, but even that product, I was going to say simple product, but it's not simple. It does a lot. Microsoft's rate of change in that product is daily. It's just a daily change. So how do you keep ahead of that if you're not living and breathing that technology? And it's the same for your other applications, your ERP, your CRM, your applications, your legacy applications that are sitting there that you've never updated. How do you understand where they now are without being educated? So I would say firmly get yourself involved in webinars that your partner's running, reach out to them, let them work with you to show you what's there with no preconceptions that you're going to sign a contract at the end of it. Just get yourself educated and let's identify where those gaps are.
And it's interesting, the education work, because, you know, what we're seeing more and more is, you know, the availability on the art of the possible.
And
in fairness, Microsoft are absolutely leading the way in a number of these facets. I mean, look, my background is, you know, I'm a Dynamics 365 fanboy, right? I mean, I've been working in the ERP space for about 1200 million years. And, you know, it's one thing that's absolutely fabulous to see is, you know, there was a new release of Dynamics 365 Business Central, for example, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, part of the 2020 Wave 2 release. Teams was front and center of the release of an ERP platform. It was front and center of the release of the CRM platform. Why? Because Microsoft, you know, they're a people, because they realize that the more the customers are going to collaborate, the more that they're going to get, they'll create usage of their big IT investments, in the SMB sector, CRM, business apps, ERP.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And they don't want then businesses going, I've got Teams, this is fantastic. Now I need an ERP system. I'll go and choose something that sits outside of that. They recognize the need to, well, actually, when we start to then expand and look beyond that sort of initial calling chat bubble, what sits around that and how do we then bring it in? You know, Microsoft are really good at embracing the competition, you know, bringing other applications into Teams because they realize the value of that, you know, things like Slack and Zoom, etc., all being accessible with inside Teams is just enhancing that sort of space and bringing stuff together. And then they've extended that into the ERP CRM space. You know, what they want to ensure is that, you know, companies have the ability to grow and make something central to their business so they don't end up with little pockets and pools of data at the end of the day,
100%.
You know, which 100%. Is key. And I suppose one of the things as well that, you know, a phrase I heard a couple, which I thought was very fascinating, and you'll like this one, Will, if you've not heard it already, is how does an organization make sure that it doesn't become a really fast, fat caterpillar, but actually turns from a caterpillar into a butterfly?
Through
digital transformation. And I do think that that's what Microsoft are trying to do. They're trying to say, look, you know, don't do one thing in one way and then move over and do something else somewhere else, because then all you're going to do is become a really fat, fast caterpillar. Mm-hmm. To truly evolve, you've got to think about it. But then potentially then where organizations need to sort of catch breath is to say, well, digital transformation will happen at the pace in which my organization can cope. Mm-hmm. And what and change that they do is, you know, very much, it's very much up to them as an organization. It's their business that will decide what digital transformation looks like for them. So it's probably a case of organizations not looking at what everybody else is doing, but looking inwards, taking a breath and going, this is what I'm doing and this is what's right for me. Yeah. And, you know, Gareth, as you said, it's that education piece. It's bringing it all together.
In terms of, you know, the fat caterpillar analogy, I know you're getting t-shirts made because you love that so much. But in terms of applications, well, what do you think's changed in your time, you know, working for Microsoft, working for QBS, in that application environment where systems have grown into fat caterpillars and organizations have grown into fat caterpillars because they just keep doing what they've always done on a legacy basis? What do you think changes in this, or has changed within applications and software in the last couple of years that's different to how it's been before?
So I think, you know, front and center, you know, of this conversation is always the cloud, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we look at if we look at the majority of ERP systems in particular out there, you know, you've got systems that were implemented, you know, maybe even by the likes of myself back in the 90s. I know, shocking. I have been doing it for that long. And you know, that there is absolutely no way that those systems will be able to integrate with the other IT investments that organizations have made. I think what cloud has done is actually, it's actually created a lot more freedom in terms of selection.